Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Just open your mouth and just pray in the Spirit this evening. Let us take a minute or two. Just pray in the Spirit. Talk to your Father. Just speak in tongues. Man revene mashadabaya. Len brushevre gies to brigade zevrendo prefenede galisteva. Man de brigade roste velemene subrungadesh kelebalande. Mende greshe veredosia, nandresh, mendo brige de borodo zugala baradosha gadabadihate, mendo bruse venemendo sobrondi este banda, man brige de borosha gadahande lebele bruse vonde shide bendo broco tosu velementa, mandosha hande igres tobolonde stela, manda barabashi gadahandruste vele. Mende libro se vende brigadu jevretu se velemendo. Monde brigade garabashida balabadu ze gretu se frondo shada badabadia. Manda bruko tosu ze vreketen shada balabadadia. O verene shikadia. Lando subarishta di. Mangarabada basha gada brosso poro do brega di che tosso voroste vele viste fa. Ambrosha kadie brosse figre stopa. Mendo bruke sotto rusha brega desi barahandro kotosi gale bade. Resa karabade bodo shu gada baradu zokoto bodo bodo brike tele di aska. In Jesus' name we pray. You know, there's this old song that just came back to my mind. I don't know how many of us know that song. In your presence, I am content. In your presence, I am content. In your presence there is life, expressions of your love, revelation of your power and might. In your presence I can bring a love. The song. Hallelujah. It shows that most people here are under, are you under 70?
In your presence, I am content.
Of your power and might,
revelation of your power.
you. Because we have been called to come and live in your presence. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by me. Our calling, our destiny is to appear before God with all the full implication of it. Thank you. Thank you for our journey into your presence. Thank you for our journey into your life. We give you praise, our Father. Tonight, we ask that you will speak to us. We ask that you will shine your light on us. Illuminate our darkness in the name of Jesus. I say, Father, this evening, illuminate our darkness in the name of Jesus. The things that hitherto have been hidden, cause them to come to light in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we be seated in God's presence this evening? Good evening, Mommy. Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah. Welcome everybody again, Pastor B. Otujometa. Let me send out my apology for not coming for the meeting. Hallelujah. Amen. It came at a very tight season. Hallelujah. I believe it was a great meeting. Ekushalua. Amen. All right. This evening, I want to round up on I'm not rounding up all my thoughts, but I want to round up on the aspect of the kingdom we've been looking at for a few weeks. I want to round up that aspect and see if we still have one or two opportunities to look at one or two other things as touching the kingdom. There is a whole lot that is available to be said concerning the matter of the kingdom. I just pray that God will really open our eyes to really see these things so that we can understand. Because the end of this journey is the kingdom. You know that the end of what God is doing is not the church. God's program is not ending with the church. God's program is not ending with the church. This is not where this is ending. The essence of the church is to prepare people of the kingdom. So it's not all about the church. It's not going to end here with us. So God is looking farther than church. He's looking at kingdom. Amen. But when Jesus came, that was his message. And when he was going to send his disciples out to preach, that was what he sent them out to do. Go preach the kingdom. They didn't write for us what they preached, but Jesus sent them to preach the kingdom. So we believe that, of course, to a degree, they would have had some understanding of what the kingdom is. It may not be in its fullness, because light is progressive. Light is progressive. And sometimes, light is also a function of spiritual development. As you grow, you find more pastures. Amen. Hallelujah. Alright, so we believe that as we journey, God will open our eyes to see more. If in another 5 years' time, we are going to treat the matter of the kingdom, we are going to treat it in much more light than what we are doing now. Why? Because we are making progress. It's a journey. Amen. It's a journey. So I believe that even for the apostle, at the beginning of his ministry, the kind of grasp he had of some of the things he taught will not be as much as, of course, it's not as if it's changing. It's still the same thing. But he's coming to, you know, see it in greater light and, you know, comprehend it much more deeper. Amen. So it's the same with us. That's why I want to admonish. Don't fight with people based on doctrine lines. Don't fight, don't have issues with people because of doctrine.
don't. It amounts to, it's a waste of time. It doesn't amount to anything. It doesn't amount to anything. So don't have enemy because somebody is preaching something that is, I'm not saying something that is opposite of what you are preaching, but you can discern. It's not error. It's just because of the level of the development of the person. You know, I've been preaching for a while. I've been preaching since I was in secondary school. And I've preached before that it is a sin to use perfume. Amen. From Isaiah chapter 3. You know, I even know where I took it from. We preach all manner of things, but today we just look back and laugh. We have journeyed. Amen. So, but interestingly, there are people that are as old as my dad that are still preaching that. I won't have any issue with them. I was once there. I can relate to them. It's just light. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. It's just light. It's how far the person has seen. Do you understand? The person is not a false preacher. He's not a false teacher. You can't be false when you've not known the truth. So before you can call somebody a false teacher is a corrupted light. Satan was in light. Then he became darkness. So if somebody was never light, you can't call the person darkness. I mean, so when you say somebody is a false teacher, he's not, you don't know, you understand what is falsehood. A false teacher understands truth. It's just a turning. They were not thoroughly made. Then along the line, Satan got hold of them and then began to cause them to turn against the same thing that they have witnessed. So because somebody is saying, it's wrong to tithe, to do something or all those ones, don't term that person a false preacher. It's not false. It's just light. When by the mercy of God, the person is able to understand better, the person will start saying the same things you are saying. There are fine believers and Christians today that don't speak in tongues. And they are God's people. Do you understand what I'm saying? They are God's people. So you must relate with them. Anybody that is God's people, anybody that has believed in Christ, that is saved, irrespective of, there may be other lines, but we can still relate and be fine. Hallelujah. So let's stop having issues and fighting people because we are teaching something, they are teaching another thing. We may not agree on doctrine lines, but there are basic things we can agree on. Let's walk in love. That's greater than doctrine. That's greater. Let that be your goal. Let that be your goal. And that's the true sign of spiritual maturity. It's not even knowledge. Knowledge pops up. But love is what is love that edifies. Hallelujah. Alright, so this evening I will just we have looked at I when I started teaching on this aspect of the kingdom, I began to look at it from the angle of our freedom that we are free citizens. We are free citizens. So we said, if we know we are free citizens, then when we are talking about the kingdom, then we is also an expression of freedom. That is, we have been made free. We are no longer in bondage. So it's good for us to know what we are no longer in bondage from, but that knowledge does not automatically bring us into that reality. But it's good we know, so that we can press into it. That's why Luke 16:16 says that as from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. That's the purpose of preaching. The purpose of preaching is that people can begin to engage the reality that you have shown them. Preaching is powerful, and in this end time, one of the things that God will still do is that God will still raise preachers. I'm telling you, God will still raise preachers. that will create so much awareness of these things so that people can, you begin to see people begin to journey. And you can, when you look at the history of the church, you see how preaching has really moved us. Healing, you know, healing was not always like this at the time. Prosperity was not like this at the time. But when God raised people, we began to push it, we began to preach it, and the people of God began to see that there is provision in God for them to be rich, then people began to press into it, and then we began to see that reality. So it means that if we truly preach the kingdom to you, people will begin to press into it and will begin to see the reality. And that's the essence why it must be taught and it must be preached. Hallelujah. I expect that you would have given me that Luke chapter 16 verse 16. Luke chapter 16 verse 16. The law and the prophets were unto John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. That is, people begin to, you know, people begin to engage, people begin to labor, people began to push for kingdom realities. And that is what, that is our assignment. It's not just to teach and to have understanding and knowledge, but it's to press for the reality. You know, God told Joshua, he said, see, I've given to you the land of Canaan. He said, begin to do what? Begin to contend for it. It has been given to them. It was, as far as God is concerned, he has given Canaan to Israel. But they were not there. They were not, in reality of it, was far. So they had to begin to fight. They had to begin to contend for it so that they can fully possess and lay hold of it. It's the same pattern. God is not going to do any new thing for us. All he's going to do, he has done in Christ. That's why he said it is finished. It's not only finished as far as the law is concerned. In fact, the Bible says that all the promises of God are in him, yea, and what? Amen. It's sealed up. Amen. But right now, it is coming to the reality of those things and laying hold on the tangibility. That's our own business. But we have to preach it. We have to believe it. We have to pray and press into it. And, you know, all that God, we open our eyes to see, we have to do so that we can touch these things. Amen. So we talked about our freedom from sin. We talked about our freedom from fear, from guilt. We talked about our peace. And then last week, I extensively talked about the issue of our fear. That one of the issues about the kingdom is that we can't be kingdom people when we are still bound to the fears of men. Hallelujah. We won't serve God from Luke chapter 1. We will not be able to serve God until we have been made free from all the fears that we have. I will look at some scriptures to try to establish that. So the kingdom of God will strip you away from every fear you have so that you can, with all confidence and focus, press into his kingdom. Amen. You know, it's clear that that's why we still have a lot of you know, there are certain ministries that have been, that are taking, of course, they are doing well. But what we are saying is that for as long as people remain in those things, they won't seek other things that are higher. But when we have a proper understanding of it, and then we know what to do to engage, to free ourselves from those limiting fears, we'll see that we'll begin to make progress and advancement in God's life. Amen. So this evening, I want to, there's another very important thing that we, that characterizes our freedom. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's take it from verse 22. 1 Corinthians 15 from 22, for as in Adam all die, Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Yes? Who is in charge of our projector this evening? But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. That's this verse 23 is a loaded scripture. It's something that we really need to open, and you know, but every man in his own order. That word order also means rank. It means company. So everybody may not belong to the same company. It's every man in his own order, your own company. They cry the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. That's something for another time. Then come at the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. Now, you see that, before we make progress, in Matthew chapter 24, the disciples were asking Jesus that, you know, asking him about the end of the world and all that. And then you see here that, what is the determinant? What is determining when the end will come? He said, then the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For as long as there are still resistances to God's will, this age will linger. Hallelujah. This age will what? Will linger. God is going to break every resistance. There's going to be nothing, even man. Hello? Even man. That is why on our own side, as far as on the end of redemption, there will be nothing in you that will even say no to God. Is that when he shall have pulled down, is that then come at the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Yes? For he must reign till he had put all enemies under his feet. So there are things we are looking at. Let's look at the next verse. It now says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Is death. We cannot talk about kingdom matter if we are not talking about the issue of death. He said, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. What's the next verse? Okay, for he has put all things under his feet, but when he said all things are put under him, his manifest that is accepted, we did put all things under him. Take us back to that verse 26. So the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Listen, we have to start looking at death, not as something to fear, but something to hate. Why? Because for as long as we fear it, we are going to look at it from the angle of defeat. But it says that it is an enemy, meaning that death is hindering the advancement of God's purpose and programs. Hallelujah. When we begin to look at death from that perspective, that death is an enemy, it stands as an opposition to God's will and God's purposes, then we begin to look at it from a different angle, from a different perspective. But that's when we can really begin to realize true victory over the forces of death. And don't forget, we looked at last week, we considered this issue, Hebrews chapter 2. Give us Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, if you can locate that verse for me. I think that should be from verse 14. Hebrews chapter 2 from verse 14. Let's take it from verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil. You know, Pastor was showing us something on Sunday, how God, you know, captured sin and on the cross destroyed and annihilated sin. So, you know, the flesh was like a trap for sin. And so Jesus Christ came, he wore the flesh, and then sin came and held on to him, and as he was nailed to the cross, sin also was destroyed in the same way. That's the same thing that plays out here. He said that, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that has the power of death, that is what? The devil. Verse 15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I'm okay with that. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to what? So he that has the power of death has been destroyed. Hello? He that had the power, that's what verse 14 told us. Give us back verse 14. I want to just teach slowly this evening. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that by dying, by being subjected to death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is what? The devil. So, it's the devil that has the power of death. It's the devil that uses death. Now, I don't want to describe myself. I'm trying to see if what I want to say is in line with what I'm saying, so that I won't move another line. So, the devil has been destroyed. That's what this scripture is saying. We have to, do you believe this scripture? Hello? Do we believe this scripture? Some of us don't believe because we are not responding. No, look at it. Did Jesus die? Hello? Did Jesus die? Because if you don't believe he died, then I don't know what you are doing here. And if you don't believe that he resurrected, in fact, if you believe he died, you can be here. But if you don't believe that he's resurrected, I don't really know what you are doing here, actually. So he died and he was raised. So he said that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is what? The devil. Why? Why is it that through death is destroying the that had the power of death? Because the control of death has something to do with sin. Hello? If there were no sin, there would have been no death. I don't know if you understand. If there were no sin, there would have been what? No death. So if you destroy sin, if you capture sin, if you demobilize sin, then you have demobilized death. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We know these things. I'm just trying to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Give us take us to that part that says that. Where is it now? Okay. Verse 55. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Yes? The sting of death is what? Hello? The sting of death is what? It's sin. It's sin. Death gained control through sin. Sin reigns unto death. So if the issue of sin is taken care of, then you demobilize death. So in Christ Jesus dying, sin was captured. There was the Bible said that what the law could not do through the flesh, God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin. Give us Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, let's look at verse 3 or 4. Romans chapter 8.
For
For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, did what? Condemned sin. So sin has been condemned. It condemns sin in the flesh. Meaning that, and that is why you have defeated the whole thing if you claim that Christ Jesus did not come in the flesh. That is why that's a very strong thing. That's why that's where the Antichrist stays. That's the testimony of the Antichrist, that Christ did not come in the flesh. Once you push that, you have defeated the whole essence. Because the testimony is that it is in the flesh that sin was condemned. Meaning that Jesus Christ had the same propensity to sin. He could sin, but he did not. As in, sin, that's what he's saying. He said, God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. It was not an angel. It was not a spirit that overcame sin. That's it. It is man. It's somebody who wore flesh that overcame sin, and so he condemned sin in the flesh. And so there is a victory over sin, and as a result of that, the devil who holds the control and the press button of death has been destroyed. So we don't have any cause to be afraid. We are not supposed to live in fear of death. Amen. Because one of the, going back to that 1 Corinthians, I have to come this way so that, you know, sometimes when you are teaching, you have to also touch one or two other things so that you can. Before I go back to 1 Corinthians 15, give me Romans chapter 5. Give me Romans chapter 5 so that you will see I can further establish that. Romans chapter 5, take it from verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by what? Sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have what? Sin. So what was the gateway of death into the world? Sin. As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all are sin. So it was sin that opened the door for death to come. So you can't deal with the issue of death if you don't deal with the issue of sin, which is the gateway. So when we begin to, you know, take care of sin, you discover that the influence of death and the strength of death is being weakened. Because even death did not take preeminence immediately. Hello? God had told Adam, in the day that you eat of the fruit, you will die. But we saw that in a dimension, it died. But the manifestation of death actually was not seen until some years after. Give us verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Yes? Nevertheless, death reigned. Can you see that word? Death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. What does verse 15 say? Okay. I'm okay. So now you see how death, now even though death came into the world, it didn't have dominion immediately. As sin was being furthered and strengthened, death was gaining what? It was gaining prominence. Even at the fact that we know, even when man has sinned, those men still lived for almost a millennium. Hello? Those men still lived for almost a millennium. Methuselah lived for 969. And you think it was a worthless life. People that tell you that Methuselah's life was not meaningless, they don't know what they are saying. Do you know what they are saying? It's not that those 99 years were not empty or something. It's wrong. That those generations still journeyed with God. It was from the loins of Methuselah that Enoch came from now. So even so, despite the fact that death could not, it was, they were still, you know, the advancement was still slow. But by the time you got to Genesis chapter 6, the pastor has been teaching us from, you describe that the thing took a different turn. God now said, you are benchmarking these people's life at 120. And you see how the things begin to degenerate until we are where we are. And then at the time of Moses, he said it should take strength to live to 80. Well, some people still live to 100 and plus and all that. But that's not even my emphasis this evening. So in Christ taking care of sin, death, that is why when Jesus was raised from the dead, there is nothing death can do about him. He had overcome death. And it's the same pattern that we are following. So, going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, take me back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So I'm saying that let us, our mentality and our perspective about death should begin to change. Take us back. Okay, no, is it 1 Corinthians? No. Give me back where I was reading the other time. Okay, verse 24. Give me verse 24. Then cometh the hand, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Meaning that there is no full establishment of kingdom. There is no full establishment of kingdom until death has been truly annihilated and destroyed. Hello? There is no full expression of the kingdom for as long as death is still prevailing. So we can even say that the peak of our kingdom experience is when we come into a place where the strength and the force of death, when death no longer have a grip. Because that's why it's like the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Well, that could mean a lot of things. But what I'm even saying in essence is that it shows that the full manifestation of the kingdom life cannot be seen until the matter of death is dealt with. So when we are talking about the kingdom, when we are talking about the expression of the kingdom, Romans chapter 14 tells us, it said that, you know, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. There is no fullness of joy when death is still present. Hallelujah. Are we together this evening? Are we together this evening? So our kingdom expression, our manifestation of the kingdom life is also a representation of victory over the force of death. This is very important. Amen. Take us to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Okay, before we go to 2 Corinthians 5, let's look at Revelation chapter 21. Let's look at Revelation chapter 21 before we go to 2 Corinthians 5. Revelation chapter 21 from verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Hallelujah. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more what? Death. Neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are what? are passed away. And he that sat upon his throne said, behold, I make all things what? New. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Hallelujah. Now, you see how this whole thing is climaxing. At the revelation of the new Jerusalem, I mean the new heaven and the new earth, he said, God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are past what? When the Bible is talking about the former things, you understand what it's talking about? You know, the former things began from Genesis. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. The former things began from Genesis, began from the fall, because before man sinned, we have looked at it, there was no death. Hello? There was no what? There was no death. So we cannot say that before he fell, we can't classify that as former. Even though the agenda of God now is higher than even then. I don't know if I'll be able to prove it, or maybe it you know that Adam did not have immortality. He did not have. He didn't have. Amen. The Bible says that, I'm looking at my time, and I really don't know if I will be able to. I don't think I want to come back here next week. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2. Okay, let me just, don't worry, let's just flow. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 5, Hebrews 2, 5. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the word to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crown him with what? You crown him with what? They are not giving it to us now. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with what? Glory and honor. And did set him over the works of your hands. The same thing with Jesus, verse 9. Look at verse 9, Jesus. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and what? And honor. Meaning that man was still liable. Hello? He said, why did they make him lower than the angels? So that he could suffer what? Look at it now. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of what? Death. Can you give us another version? Is there another version that maybe may help us to clarify it? For it was an act worthy of God. But we are able to see Jesus, who was ranked lower than the angels, for a little while. Okay. This one has changed the... He has a little while crowned with glory and honor because of his having... But this one is even more confusing. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death. No! No! This cannot be accurate. Adam was crowned with glory and honor. Who did he experience resurrection? Hello? Do you understand what I'm saying? The crowning with glory and honor cannot be post-resurrection. But we see Jesus, you see why Pastor doesn't like this version now. Let's go back to our KJV. Welcome. Hallelujah. What do we see? Jesus, who was given a position a little lower than the angels, and because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with glory and honor. All of them are saying the same thing. But when we look at it from... Look at it. Thank God that Paul told us earlier that Adam was crowned with what? He has said it. Verse 6. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with what? glory and honor. So the crowning of glory and honor was even for Adam as at the time that God created him. Hallelujah. And the scripture told us that Jesus Christ is the last Adam. Hello? So if Christ is the last Adam, it means that his crowning of glory and honor was not a matter of post-resurrection. Do you understand? Hello? Is it confusing anybody? No, it can be confusing one or two people. Eh? Somebody is confused, Abby. Okay. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. You won't allow me to teach my main thing now. 1 Corinthians 15. Okay. Look at verse 45. Let's take it from verse 45. 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made what? Who is this last Adam? Let's look at verse 46. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. Yes? The first man is of the earth, ethic. The second man is the Lord from what? Now, these are two different persons. The last Adam is different from the second man. That would even further confuse somebody. I don't think I need to go there. Is there any way, is there a way we can avoid it? Ah, hallelujah. Okay, man. Amen. I have less than 15 minutes more, so I should still be able to touch at least one or two things. No, I can't read this one now. Let's leave it aside. You know what? Let's go back. Just go and put it in your mind somewhere. Or ask somebody after that, please explain further. Amen. You can meet Emmanuel. Emmanuel Dudu. I can possibly understand that. Amen. Alright, so now this is what I'm saying. Go back to Hebrews 2. Take us back to Hebrews chapter 2. That place where it says that it was. Hebrews chapter 2. Oh yeah. This evening is so calm. You know where we were before now. But we begin from Adam. Ah. You know, these things can sometimes frustrate someone. But one in a certain place testifies, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him, yet? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of your hands. Hallelujah. So now what we are saying is that when God made man, when he created Adam, the Bible said that God is in his make. He was made lower than the angels, and he was crowned with glory and what? And honor, so that he can exercise lordship over creation. Do you understand that? Now, let's continue. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Why? Because man did not complete his assignment. He said, but now we see not yet all things put what? Under him. Because what God told man was that he should subdue. that use your lordship and put everything under subjection. But we know that that was not realized. Give us verse 9. He now said, but now we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, so that he might suffer death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for everyone, every man. You can't nail an angel to the cross. Hello? I don't know if that's what I'm saying. Are we together? You can't nail an angel to the cross. So they have to make him lower than the angels so that he might be able, he said, that he by the grace of God should taste death for what? For every man. Now, this death here is much more than just physical death. Because the death that Jesus died was not just physical, it was also spiritual. Do you understand? And that is even the most important one. But so Jesus Christ died. He suffered death. Not because he had sin. Pastor told us that on Sunday, but he was made sin. And because he was made sin, he died. Do you understand that? So he tasted death for every man. So as that Jesus Christ that walked the face of the earth, they made him like that, so that he could still die. So we knew that the first, the man, original man, didn't have... Hallelujah. One more proof. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Look at Genesis chapter 3. Can you give us verse 22? Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, let he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and do what? Good and evil. And now, so it means that in his natural state, he didn't have the capacity to live forever, but if he had taken, if he took of the tree of life and eat, he was not just going to, he was going to live, and then out of life, how do I put this? Immortality is in life. I'm trying to find the expression. I don't have much utterance. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, let him put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat. And then what? Live forever. So it is in the provision of God for man to live forever was part of what was in that tree. Even though that was not all. The essence of the tree is not for man, is not just for man to live forever, but in living, Second Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1. I think I'll just summarize what I want to say, and I want to close this chapter today. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought what? Life and what? Immortality to light. Who has brought what? Life and what? Immortality to life. Through what? The gospel. It is in abundance of life that you find immortality. Hello? Listen. Man did not start dying physically. The day he died spiritually. Hello? He died spiritually, but he didn't die physically immediately. Do you get what I'm saying? It's the same way. Now we are alive. Hello? But you will not automatically experience life in your mortal body. The same way sin reigns to death, righteousness must reign to life, and life, there must be a reign and prevailing of life unto the reign of foreverness. That's what I just want to try to show this evening. Jesus said, I've come that they might have what? Life, and have it what? More abundantly. It is out of the abundance of life that life will begin to find expression even in your body. Amen. Finally, let me, I will just jump a number of things, but we know this scripture in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Sorry. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Romans 8, 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of what? Of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth what? In you. There are two things. Those two verses talk about two things that pertain to the body. The first one, it says the body is dead because of what? The body is dead because of what? Sin. But the spirit is life because of what? Righteousness. I don't want to teach about that. He now said, but if the spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. No, those are two different things. There's difference between being dead and be mortal. Dead means dead. Mortal means liable to death. The body is dead, but it has not fallen off. Hello? Mortal means it is going to die. But when it's a mortal body, it means subject to death. That means this thing is mortal, meaning it's a matter of time. It will die. But the previous verse told us that it's not just mortal. That body is actually dead. It's that the body is dead because of sin. The spirit is alive because of righteousness, but it's not saying that if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he will raise your mortal bodies. Meaning that even though the bodies, that's what I was trying to explain, there is already a death that has occurred. But it took a matter of time before we saw it physically and outwardly, the body falling. Do you know what I'm saying? He's now saying that even though your body is dead, your journey with God, you can recover, there can be a recovery and sustain that thing from falling off. That's what that place is teaching. He said, if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Meaning that this your body that is subject to death, they will begin to infuse life. They will begin to infuse life. And so if life, as the body is gaining life, there are two forces now. It's the forces of life and death. It's a matter of what prevails. My time is up already. But what I'm just trying to teach us and show us is this, that our kingdom expression also has something to do with our victory over death. Sorry, let me quickly do 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. I'll just... 2 Corinthians 5, quickly. Give me from verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, now, this is another thing to even show you that it's not. Therefore, we know that if our earthly house of that word tabernacle also means tent. For if our earthly house of Africa is not helping me this night too. For if our earthly house of tent were dissolved, you know a tent, meaning you just pitch it. When you are ready, you pack the thing. In other words, we have what? A building. That this one is temporal. This one is what? It's permanent. A building is an erection. We have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal what? In the heavens, yes? For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is what? From heaven, yes? If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Yes, verse 4. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that which will be unclothed, but what? Clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up, what? Meaning, this is it. This is what that thing means. I don't have to be unclothed to be clothed. I can wear two clothes. Such that one will consume the other. I don't know if you understand. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we will be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Can you understand? Do you see that? Meaning that, so if I don't have to shed off. And then, of course, that's normal. Do you understand? 1 Corinthians 15, you will die. Do you understand? But it's not saying that there is also something that means that I can be further what? Clothed. That as I'm walking, you are seeing me carrying around an earthly tabernacle, but there is a spiritual tabernacle that as the one under is dissolving, you will never see a time that I will follow. Because while that one is decaying, this one will just assume its fullness. Hallelujah. This is part of the kingdom. Like I said, like from what we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that until there is no full expression of kingdom until death has been destroyed. But the beauty of it is this. Jesus, that 2 Timothy 1 even said, he said he has abolished what? Death. Why is death still reigning? Excuse me. Is there still gravity? But when you see an aeroplane, it looks as if there's no what? So even though it's present, but there is another force that can cancel that effect. He said he has abolished death. What abolish means to cancel the effect of something. So he has canceled the effect of death. But the reason why we are not seeing it is because that the provision to death can, it's not saying death is not existing. You know what I'm saying? But its effect has been canceled such that when you are walking in the reality of life, it should be as if death is not, because death will not be destroyed now. It's for a later time. That is that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Is death. There's no between destruction and abolition. It's still existing, but its effect has been nullified. So that when you step into not existing, because that's why when you are in the aeroplane, you don't know, it's as if there's no gravity. Hallelujah. So he has brought it to light through what? The gospel. As we begin to preach the gospel, these things become clearer and clearer. We begin to see. You see, people begin to press into reality of it and begin to, in fact, that is how we withdraw it. When we see messages like this being preached, in fact, that's how we know that the days are nearer. Because there are certain scrolls that will not be opened until certain seasons have come. We can preach them now. It's good to preach them now. Because one of the ways you see all of these people, that one of the ways they do it is through the hope. He said we earnestly desire. People that are subjected to death in their mind will not but die. Hallelujah. You can keep that for a moment. Will not but die. Hallelujah.
Can we appreciate God in the life of Father Ogiegu? I know there are plenty of questions, and thank God that Father Ogi is here to answer them. Hallelujah. It's good to know that victory over death starts from here. That fear has to be taken out. I don't know. I don't think they can take it out once like that, because that you can face AK-47 does not mean you have conquered death. You know? This evening, I had an altercation with a man in the car I took, and I didn't know why I snapped like that. The man just came in. I was, you know, probably thought I was a small boy, and was like, you know, he's one of these garage chair people or something. I was like, boy, you old there soon. And I was like, look at your size. Look at my size. If anybody is making us inconvenient inside this car, it's you. I shouted at her. I said, you're an elder. You should know how to talk to younger people. And I did all that. I snapped, and later I realized I was one of those garage guys. I said, if this guy should come down with me at my bus stop, I'm in trouble. So what I did was I boned my face all through. So instead of stopping at a place where it can be only me and him, I stopped in a place where there is plenty of people. And then the driver was like, you want to stop here? I said, I want to stop here. I can't afford for that guy to hold me down. I won't be here this evening. I don't know how mental he is. The guy can just come and say, this is where you are going. I had that experience in VI. And since that time, anytime such happens, I stop at another bus stop, because I can't fight, but I can talk. And sometimes talk is not the same as fight. Because that guy can tear clothes. And I can't. If you see me tearing clothes on the streets, how will you feel? So I had been planning in my mind how I was going to use my mouth to free myself. So I tell the guy that you sleep in cell this night. Which cell? I don't know.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.